In the presidential race, there's the popular vote, and then there's the delegate count. And numerically, the two don't always match up, as we saw in the Nevada caucuses, where Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but Barack Obama ended up with 13 delegates to her 12. Each state has its own, often arcane, rules for how delegates are awarded. In a close race, that can lead to endless confusion and speculation about who is truly ahead. Well, we're going to try to decipher the delegate rules with Burdette Loomis. He's professor of political science at the University of Kansas. He joins us from Lawrence. And Professor Loomis, we should say off this, right from the start, that this is complicated even for someone like you who follows this stuff all the time.
Absolutely. And it is arcane, and I think it's something of a changing target, certainly from election to election.
Well, let's start at the beginning. We're talking about delegates, and these would be delegates who go to the party's national conventions this summer, although it's not quite as simple as all that, because in a couple of places where they're having caucuses, they're nominated to county conventions, not national conventions.
Right, and you aggregate up to the state level. So it can be unclear, particularly as candidates drop out. Someone who might have had support, those supporters would go someplace else. So it's never completely clear.
Well, are these delegates pledged to a candidate? I mean, once they say they're pledged to, say, Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, is that binding?
Indeed, they are pledged, and yet it is not totally binding. No. These are private organizations, the political parties. So legally binding would be difficult. By and large, though, the party rules say that if you have been elected or selected, pledged to a delegate, you are expected to support that candidate. And if someone drops out, however, you can move your vote.
Mm-hmm. But if the candidates stay in, you're supposed to stay with whom you signed on with?
You're supposed to.
Another way that this all gets confusing is that in these states, it's not necessarily winner-take-all, that sometimes delegates are allotted proportionally, and that's what happened in Nevada, where we saw that split between the popular vote and then a different delegate count.
Certainly, and I think that that's the Democratic rule is to select proportionally in caucuses, in primaries. In Nevada, what was interesting is that Hillary Clinton won substantial numbers of votes in particular caucuses, but Obama had support more broadly through the state, and so hence his support ended up with a little more delegate count as opposed to Clinton.
Another layer of complication here is something called the superdelegates. Tell us about superdelegates. Who are they?
The superdelegates are mostly in the Democratic Party, and the name, I think, applies to them only in the Democratic Party. They are governors, elected officials, members of Congress, senators, National Party members, and a few others who have been accorded the status of getting to go to the convention. And at the beginning, they're uncommitted, and they can commit to individual candidates anywhere along the way.
And there are lots of these. This is about 20% of all of the Democratic delegates are superdelegates.
Right. About 20% of the delegates do represent party elites in one way or another.
You know, I was looking at the website realclearpolitics.com today, and they have a running delegate count.
Right.
And if you look at the totals with the superdelegates totaled in, Hillary Clinton has a big lead. She has 236 delegates total. Barack Obama has 152. John Edwards has 50. But if you take away those superdelegates, it's a very different story. Barack Obama actually has 38. Clinton behind him with 36. John Edwards with 18. So which number is more meaningful?
That's a great question, as I said. I think that both numbers are meaningful. Certainly, the electoral count demonstrates how close this race is. I do think that the superdelegate count is also quite significant. Clearly, a lot of people have long-term ties to Hillary Clinton. She has a strong superdelegate operation. She's gotten those commitments. And so there is this delegate lead. And I think that's important as you go to Super Tuesday, because if you can maintain that and broaden her electoral lead, she might have some kind of broad momentum that would carry her perhaps to the nomination.
Now, what if we come out of Super Tuesday with just a jumble? What do you see happening then?
With a jumble, I think that it then goes into kind of trench warfare, state by state and superdelegate by superdelegate. And there are a lot of superdelegates who have held back. Most of them, as a matter of fact, have not committed to one candidate or another. And many of those folks have very different interests in the political candidates themselves, individual members of Congress in a tough race, for example. So they may have very good reasons for holding back and waiting to see which way the tide will turn.
Well, Professor Loomis, thanks for taking the time to try to sort through all of this with us.
I hope it's slightly more clear.
It is. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Burdette Loomis is professor of political science at the University of Kansas in Lawrence.